Ladies, welcome to our Bible study segment. We are in the book of Esther. Now here's our Bible study teacher, Beth Seifert.
Well, hey there, Amy. Well, today we're going to go ahead and dig straight on into the book of Esther. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Esther. We're going to be in chapter 1, and we're going to read the first 12 verses today. Now, in the days of Ahasuerus, the Ahasuerus who reigned from India to Ethiopia, over 127 provinces, in those days when King Ahasuerus sat on his royal throne in Susa, the citadel, in the third year of his reign he gave a feast for all his officials and servants. The army of Persia and Media and the nobles and governors of the provinces were before him, while he showed the riches of his royal glory and the splendor and pomp of his greatness for many days, 180 days. And when these days were completed, the king gave for all the people present in Susa, the citadel, both great and small, a feast lasting for 7 days in the court of the garden of the king's palace. There were white cotton curtains and velvet hangings fastened with cords of fine linen and purple to silver rods, and marble pillars and also couches of gold and silver on a mosaic pavement of porphyry, marble, and mother of pearl and precious stones. Drinks were served in golden vessels, vessels of different kinds, and the royal wine was lavished according to the bounty of the king. And drinking was according to this edict: there is no compulsion. For the king had given orders to all the staff of his palace to do as each man desired. Queen Vashti also gave a feast for the women in the palace that belonged to King Ahasuerus. On the 7th day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mehuman, Biztha, Harbona, Bigtha, and Agatha, Zethar, and Carcass, the 7 eunuchs who served in the presence of King Ahasuerus, to bring Queen Vashti before the king with her royal crown, in order to show the peoples and the princes her beauty, for she was lovely to look at. But Queen Vashti refused to come at the king's command delivered by the eunuchs. At this the king became enraged, and his anger burned within him. So Esther starts out with food. Xerxes holds a banquet at which all of his nobles and officials were present. See, for the past 6 months, the king had been holding a series of events and festivals. It was kind of like a 6-month-long party, and they were planned to display Xerxes' wealth and splendor and glory. And also, this was a time planned to gather people together for a huge military campaign that the king was about to set forth on. When the time had come to end the feasting, the king throws one big bash, a banquet that lasts a week for everyone in the citadel of Susa. I love the detail that's included in Esther. You can picture the scene in the garden so clearly here, and every added description outdoes the last. Fine linen used simply to adorn the marble pillars. White cords with purple, the color of royalty, material that were attached the hangings to the marble pillars by silver rings. Couches of gold and silver, those couldn't have been particularly comfortable, but they were impressive to look at, sat atop a mosaic tile pavement that included mother of pearl and other precious stones in it. The very ground that they walked upon was opulent. Then the table set with goblets of gold, each one different from the next one, and the wine flowed freely. There was absolutely no limit to what you could drink. Imagine that, in this amazing setting, the beauty and wonder of the ambiance, and enough wine to keep the entire group intoxicated for a week. This was a party. By human standards, Ahasuerus knew how to throw a party. Now, the women were not included in this party, but they weren't left out. They had their own party, given by Queen Vashti. They were enjoying a week of girl time. Then comes the catalyst for the events that occur in Esther. The king, who we see was, if not drunk at that particular moment, was very close after drinking for 7 days, and it says he was very merry with wine, and he wanted to show off his wife. He wanted all the men to oo and ah over her and be impressed with her beauty. So off go the eunuchs to deliver the message, and the queen refuses the command from the king. She flat out refuses. Why would she do that? Seems a simple enough request, right? Come here to the party where I am with the men and let everyone see how beautiful you are, right? Well, there was more to it than that. You see, at that time, the only women who would have been invited to the banquet with the men would have been a prostitute. Inviting your wife was absolutely taboo. You see, even being seen with your wife in public could have been considered inappropriate. Women were to stay at home. Men were to be in public. Women could do the shopping or whatever was necessary, but as for public appearances, state appearances, these kinds of banquets and joining in society, they weren't included with the men. Also, the words in their original form suggest that she was expected to arrive wearing her crown and nothing else. So the queen is faced with a very tough choice here. She knows that if her husband were sober, he would not be making this request. But she also knows that there's a high probability that if she does accede to this request and go to him now, when he is no longer drunk and realizes that she did indeed appear before him and the other men at a banquet, a state ceremony, possibly naked, he could have killed her for the breach of etiquette. However, she refuses him now to try to save them both from the impropriety of the situation. In his drunken state, he could order her death too. Remember, Ahasuerus is a soldier. He's a rough man who has spent his reign seeking wealth and vengeance. Vashti faces Ahasuerus' wrath if she does what he asks, and she faces his wrath if she refuses. Interesting start to the story, huh? The king is glorying in himself. He's so amazed at his own powers, he rallies the people and has been garnering support for his reign, and possibly for a war he was about to start. He ends by having a week-long debauch and, in his wine-filled state, acts crassly, rudely, inappropriately in asking for the queen, the most honored woman in the land, to be brought to this male-only den. Facing the possibility of death from both of her choices, the queen chooses to stay home. She is protecting his reputation and her own in doing so, and, I'm sure, hoping that for that very reason, when he is sober, he will see her actions and be glad of her choice. We see that the king then becomes enraged. He's mad, and what he does next in his anger and inebriation again sets up what's coming for us in the complications in this book. So as we look at this beginning, think about our introduction to this book. Now keep in mind, we're getting a glimpse of the goings-on of the Persian Empire. We're seeing the excess and extravagance with which they live. The Persians were on top of the world, and they were going to enjoy the perks of being on top. Ahasuerus' goal is to raise a mighty force to continue his military campaigns so that he can acquire more wealth and more territory. He and his officials show absolutely zero restraint in their banquet. There's no such thing as enough here. Absolutely zero limits on their gluttony, their drinking, and their sensuality. When sinners get together for the purpose of sin, they tend to egg each other on as they outdo one another in sin. As you see the people around you demolishing all limits of propriety, it's much easier to break through those limits than yourself. That mob mentality begins to rule, and the height of all of this sensuality is Ahasuerus' demand on his queen. Pretty bleak, huh? Not a nice picture. And yet, this is where God chose to start this book for us. God is showing us the darkness of these people. He's letting us in on how depraved these Persians truly are. All the rest of the things that will occur in this book occur with this as the backdrop. Knowing where this book starts at such a low point, truly anything else that is going to happen in this book shouldn't surprise us all that much. It is into this land that God is about to reveal his light, even when things seem to get darker than before. Today, as you go through your own day, as you face people and culture and the world in general that's so dark and depraved, stop and take a deep breath and thank God for his grace and his mercy that has brought you out of that world. Remember, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, it says, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers, will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Such were some of you, but no longer." Remember, God redeemed you from your sinful flesh, and he is still, as 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but he is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." God is being patient, not as we know patience, but being patient so that none may be lost who are to come to him. God is still redeeming lives in our world, just as he redeemed you. And we'll see that throughout the book of Esther, but for today, hold fast to the truth that he has overcome the world as it says in John 16, verses 32 through 33. Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has already come, when you will be scattered each to his own home and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. We already know the ending. And the ending for all of his followers is a wonderful one.
Well, thank you, Beth. And ladies, that lesson that you just heard is available in a 10-minute audio segment on our website today, along with the individual study guide for today. And look for it at naomistable.com under the Bible Study tab. You can use these as a study for yourself or to teach women around your own table. Nancy and I will be back to talk more about today's lesson in just a moment. Mm-hmm.